I like it.
I love it.
Sad.
Angry.
Share it. Retweet it. My feed.
Yep, it's time to peek into the social media feed of a special guest because that's how we learn about the zeitgeist. My guest this week is Nikesh Murali. He's a poet and the creator of a crime podcast. Welcome to RN Drive.
Great to be here, Patricia. It's so nice to talk to you after watching you on TV for so many years.
Oh, I love you too. All right, you're super excited about the release of a new movie trailer. Let's take a listen.
Sure.
I was always Daddy's little girl. What about you? Are you still his little girl, Beverly? Are you?
Okay, that was a preview of the new movie, It Chapter 2. Nikesh, what is it about scary clowns that gets you so excited?
Horror in general gets me excited about storytelling, Patricia. I always say that horror perhaps is the best genre to look at social evils because you can manifest it in the form of a monster or a ghost, and you can either assimilate it, destroy it, or transform it, and find some kind of catharsis at the end of it. This movie in particular, Chapter 1 was fantastic, so that's a reason to follow Chapter 2, but Stephen King's stories are wonderful. It, for example, while on the surface looks like as a story about a clown that lives in these sewers stealing children, it's really about the capacity of the adults in that town to ignore evil, while the children in the town are ready to look at a wider spectrum of evil and ready to fight it.
Do you think horror movies are becoming more political?
They are, and to a certain extent, they always have been. I've heard some commentary around the old zombie movies being about the outsider and the fear of the outsider. To a certain extent, that's always been the case. But I think screenwriting in general has grown in quality in leaps and bounds, and that's reflected across the different genres in which modern screenwriters are writing, and horror is one of those examples. Get Out by Jordan Peele was such a commercial success, but also evoked so many discussions about the state of race relations in the US. His similar movie, Us, I think it's called, has similar discussions about how we are our own worst enemies when it comes to change. And yes, they are getting political, and that's very exciting because we can accommodate now entertaining stories, but also thoughtful ones, and cover that entire spectrum.
All right, moving on to another topic. And speaking of Storycraft, tell me about the Write Your Screenplay podcast. What's that premise?
It's my favorite podcast. It's well structured. The expert on there, Jacob Kruger, he is an amazing screenwriting teacher. He has classes in New York that you can attend online as well. He analyzes, I'm really passionate about storytelling, and I will talk about the structure of stories and how they impact people for hours and hours and hours. Jacob finds a better way of doing it. He's able to compress that into 15 to 20 minute segments, and he analyzes movies like Coco, the recent episodes of Game of Thrones, and looks at how those stories have been structured, what the emotional content of these things are, how you can become a better writer. But as an audience, just to listen to him, it's amazing to see the effort that goes behind some of the plot twists in your favorite movies or your TV shows. And I think predominantly as a podcast, it's a great success because unlike a lot of screenwriting podcasts or a lot of podcasts in general that just tend to ramble on, Jacob is able to really follow his own advice in terms of structuring it properly and making it entertaining and letting people travel with him on this journey and get some insights out of the movies that he's talking about.
So can you give me an example? What's a well-structured plot twist in a film?
So Jacob's a huge fan of using imagery to talk about how a story evolves. So, for example, in the Game of Thrones episodes, he talks about how those episodes have been written around some central images. So there was a huge episode a few weeks ago called The Battle for Winterfell, and several characters die, who I'm not going to tell who they are. But really, the writing of it's very evident because it's so powerful that they've gone through some of the central images, like a hero standing in front of a burning castle, a zombie ice king who is walking towards his arch enemies in slow motion under a beautiful tree as it's snowing around them. So he talks about how those stories might have been formed. But in terms of story structure, what's a rewarding screenplay is one that keeps you guessing about what's going to happen and make you want to find out what's going to happen in the end, but also shows change in the character, meaningful change that comes out at the right time through meaningful choices that they make by actively participating in the story. There are Coco, the Pixar movie, is a great example of this. Just to give you a snippet of what he talks about in terms of Coco, he says how the whole movie is actually based around the song Remember Me. It's played in different riffs through the whole movie. In the beginning, it's a hopeful song about adventure, and by the end of the movie, it's this sad and poignant song. And through that, the story structure is evoked, a satisfying story is told.
Let's talk about your podcast. What's it called and what's it about?
So my podcast is Indian Noir. It's India's most popular adult storytelling podcast, and it features crime and horror stories featuring Indian characters that's set in India. And there are two stories running simultaneously at the moment. One's a crime story and one's a horror story. And I think the popularity of Indian Noir is a testament to the fact that people really care stories that are a mix of fiction and faction. So I do a lot of research for my crime story, His Night Begins, for example, to look at the sex trafficking syndicates in India and how they operate. And it's a fictional story about a retired hitman who goes on a revenge spree to kill the people that put his daughter through the sex trafficking syndicate. So while it works as a B-grade revenge drama, it's really examining the inner workings of some of these nefarious crime organizations. And the horror stories, it gives me a great opportunity to evoke some of the great storytelling elements that we've been talking about in the last few minutes by using good voice acting, great sound effects, and also telling a very emotional story. So the last story that I just finished up for the recent season of the horror series was about a man who's lost an Indian man who was an IT consultant in the US who's lost his job and has come back home and has a difficult relationship with his family. And he has to come to terms with the responsibility he has towards his family and the depression that he's going through. And this is manifested in the form of a demon that is unleashed in the house that where they live. And it's about how he conquers that. So that's Indian Noir.
I like it. And let's talk poetry, which is kind of shop talk for you too. Here's one of yours.
I met a traveller from an antique land who said, "Two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor, well, those passions read which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed."
What can you tell us about this poem?
So that's Ozymandias, Shelley's poetry. I regularly read poetry on Twitter. I was a writer for 15 years. I used to write fiction in literary fiction magazines and as part of anthologies. Then I kind of left it when the publishing business imploded. I've always enjoyed reciting poetry. So a couple of years ago, I decided just to do my recordings online, and some of them became viral hits. I've been regularly reading poetry on Twitter now. And it just so happened that I was doing that at a time when poetry has started to have a resurgence. It's really been flourishing. So I think the Nielsen book scan data tells you that in the last 5 years, poetry book sales have grown by 66%. People really enjoy engaging with it as an art form, with verse. Just like what we were talking about, horror movies of them becoming political, poetry as a medium is so dynamic that it can be used to talk about social issues. And so I am a part of that wider machinery where I get to engage with the works of dead poets and also contemporary living poets, especially poetry from women of color, poetry from the LGBTQI community. So I'm just using my vocal talents to read them, and it's great to engage with people who love poetry. So that's a snippet that you heard there.
Why is giving voice to poetry so important, and why do you think it's having this kind of resurgence?
A big factor for the resurgence in poetry is Twitter and Instagram, the ability to combine new media tools like images and audiovisual elements with recitals that help all the audience engage with it in a deeper and more meaningful ways. Rupi Kaur, who's a Canadian poet, has a following of 3.5 million on Instagram. She was responsible for $1 million in book sales through her small chapbook collection. And I think in terms of voice, I think people are ready to listen to different voices narrate poetry as well. It would have been unusual for a man of my skin color and with my accent and my voice to read poetry at one stage. But slam poetry has become so diverse. Poetry performances have so become so diverse, and people are craving for something different. But also just the growing popularity of the audio medium. I mean, the medium that we are talking to each other on. Podcasting in general, people really love engaging with it as a passive form of consumption as they go to work or as they travel long distances. But poetry is beautiful. It helps you engage with the language in such a beautiful way. English is my third language. And for me, reciting a poem really helps me connect with each and every word and really understand the depth of the thoughts that go behind it.
Nikesh, thank you so much for coming on.
Lovely, lovely to be here, Patricia. Thank you so much for having me.
Nikesh Murali is a poet and creator of the horror crime podcast, Indian Noir.